everybody. Welcome to Edge of Wonder with your hosts, Ben and Rob. I'm sure you've heard by now that Biden is forgiving student loans and the media is really divided about it. But the strange part is, it's not divided by left versus right with politics, but more like Gen Z versus everyone older. Is this some kind of strategy the Biden administration is capitalizing on to get younger votes? Who's really going to foot the bill for these forgiven loans, and how much will it affect people like you and me? And while we're on the topic of money, have you seen the government promoting a central bank digital currency? What is it paving the way for, really? Ben and I have some thoughts on this, and we'll get into it in the show tonight.
Plus, tonight, we'll also talk about why Marjorie Taylor Greene's home was swatted twice in a row, and we'll have a Rise TV exclusive Q&A where you can ask us your questions directly. And hey, support our work so we can keep doing these kinds of deep dives. And to get access to our full epic Edge of Wonder catalog of series, please consider subscribing to Rise.tv.
Yeah, and for just $9.99 a month, you can help us keep doing investigative research to expose covered up truths, unearth hidden history, share information the mainstream media won't discuss, and explore humanity's buried spiritual potential.
Yeah, we can't wait to see you there on Rise TV and our live chats because we have such an amazing community that you can be a part of. But for now, we want to get into the topics of money, control, power, the police state that's happening right here in the US of A. So let's get started and we'll see you out
on the edge of Hunter Biden made his own crack.
Not according to Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Yeah, him making his own crack was also Russian disinformation.
They probably told him how to make it.
Yeah. Zuck was like, listen, my wife has a great Chinese recipe for that. Add a little bit of fentanyl in there. Boom. Bada bing.
Oh,
like
man.
Peach cobbler, I'm telling you.
Peach cobbler.
I just ate some of that before the show.
Peach cobbler or Hunter Biden's crack?
It definitely wasn't Hunter Biden's crack. It wasn't any crack for that matter. Different kind of dessert type of crack that was delicious. Yes.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. So, as always, all this crazy stuff happening in the week. And let's see, it's Thursday. And we have Biden announcing the student loan forgiveness.
Yeah. Wow. What a kick in the you know what. Well, to every parent.
I have to admit, you know, I'm trying to look at, for everyone out there, I am trying to look at things pretty objectively. Okay. So it's like when I first heard this, I was like, okay, I don't know any of the details. Like all I saw the headline was like, you know, Hunter Biden forgives like $10,000 or something, right?
Joe Biden or Hunter Biden?
Oh, sorry, Joe Biden.
Now Hunter Biden's running the government too? What is
going on? Dude, I'm sure he is, man. You know,
listen, Pops, let me show you how to do this. First you crystallize, then you break.
Then you call in the prostitutes.
Yeah. Right, right.
So I hate to keep going on about this, but it's like it just blows my mind that all these photos are out there all in the open. It's so obvious, and then everyone's like, yeah, no, this is just Russian disinformation. Like
Then when you start talking to them about whether AI could create videos like that, they're like, no. But then you have Obama coming out being like, be careful of the deep fake technology that's out there because it may be showing me doing things that I shouldn't have been doing.
You know? That's right. He did say that before he left.
Contradictions in that like world.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, man, it's crazy. But, well, okay. You know, going back to
you were trying to be student, objective. So
yeah, I was trying to be objective, right? I really was. I mean, I really was like, okay, you know, I could see that a lot of people are going to be really happy about this, but then I was like, there's got to be a backstory on this, and there's got to be more to it. And then I was actually shocked to see like someone like Washington Post come out and And literally their headline in Washington Post. Now, granted, again, this is like an opinion piece, but now nowadays it's like everything is being opinion pieces through
the difference.
New York Times and Washington Post. And they can write whatever they want. And it's like, it's opinion. We can say whatever we want, even though we don't say anything positive about anything that we, you know, that you and I would kind of agree with. But anyway, okay. Sorry. Lindsay just told us something. She says she has the video from Obama. Okay. So we'll show that here in a bit. But okay, so Washington Post's headline was Biden's student loan announcement is regressive, expensive. Is a regressive, expensive mistake. And again, I was kind of surprised about this. And the article goes in, says the loan pause, which President Donald Trump instituted in March of 2020, was an emergency measure at a time when people were struggling to find jobs or had to remain home due to the pandemic. And kind of goes on to say, it's hard to make the case that college graduates are still facing an unprecedented crisis. Then it says the loan forgiveness decision is even worse. Widely canceling student loan debt is regressive. It takes money from the broader tax base, mostly made up of workers who did not go to college, to subsidize the education debt of people with valuable degrees. Though Mr. Biden's plan includes an income gap, the threshold does not reflect need or earnings potential, meaning white-collar professionals with high future salaries stand to benefit. I have to admit, I was a little bit kind of like, I thought the mouthpiece media would all be like praising whatever Biden is doing. And I was like kind of taken back by this, honestly.
Lindsay, can you pull that article up again, that Washington Post article you just had up?
Yep, one sec.
So yeah, I mean, I think that may be the strangest part of this entire thing, Ben. Okay, I just have a question. What is Mike from Stranger Things doing at the bottom of this photo?
Oh, dude, that does look like him.
That's him right there. Mike from Stranger Things.
Oh, my God. That literally looks like, I don't think it is him, but that really looks like him. That's hilarious, dude.
I don't know what that is when you zoomed in.
I can't believe you saw that.
Okay, so strangest part of this is that both sides of the media are hammering this one. Nancy Pelosi is also saying that the president is unable to do this. It would have to be an act of Congress that actually instituted this debt, cancellation. And what is your take on that, Ben? Why?
Why are they doing this?
Well, go ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, Lindsay, there is a really good thread that I found on Twitter from this guy named Clay Travis. And basically, let me just read what he says. Joe Biden has no constitutional authority to unilaterally strike down student loan debt. Congress must act to allow this occur. The Supreme Court will strike down this move. The Biden administration knows this, which is why this is simply a craven political move for midterms. So this is kind of interesting because that's kind of what I thought. I'm not 100% sure if, from my understanding, this is an executive order. I don't even know if Biden could make this an executive order since it has to do with finances and all this stuff for the country. But he announced this doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to go through. One possible scenario, if it doesn't go through, because a lot of people are asking, wait a minute, why didn't you just do this in the beginning? You know, when you first came into office, this is what everyone wanted. Why now, right before the midterm elections? If he announces it now, and then after the midterm elections, let's say there's more Republicans that fill the House or something like that, then they can just blame the Republicans. Oh, they're the ones that, you know, I wanted to do this for you, but they voted it down and you can blame them. And, you know, that's one aspect from this. Something else that kind of came to me today actually, as I was kind of like thinking about all of this and your question, Rob, it's like the concept of teaching someone to fish or giving somebody a fish, you know? Because it's like, I started thinking about this. If I was the cabal, and using this as an analogy, it's like, let's just say they're giving out free fish, right? All right, free fish for everybody here. You know, take the free fish. Because it's like, the point is, I don't want you to learn how to fish. I would rather I give you the free fish. But then at some point, you have to say, okay, well, there's a problem. We need to now tax this free fish. But the poor can't afford the taxes. So then you have like the rich that go in and buy up all the fish just in case there is a shortage. So now the rich own all the fish. They're giving out the fish. Then it's like you have the middle class paying for the taxes because the poor can't pay it. So the middle class is then paying for the taxes for the fish that are mostly going to the poor, which is then in return.
Going to the rich, you mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. And then in return, it's like you're destroying the middle class, and the middle class are the more likely the ones that are going to learn how to fish because they want to, they're like a working hard class. They're like, hey man, I need to survive. You know, I need to learn how to fish to feed my family. And on top of that, I can open a business and sell my fish. But now they have to pay all these taxes. So you kind of destroy the middle class. And then you have the rich that give the fish back to the poor. And then the poor are just like, wow, this is so great. You guys are heroes because you've like, we don't have to do anything. You're just giving it to us. And like
the they don't just give the fish to the middle class. First, they inject the fish with some kind of poison that changes their DNA. And then they give the fish over and they wear Billy Gates glasses while they're doing it.
Yeah. That's so true. That's in a nutshell. I mean, that's kind of, so anyway, you know, like the whole point of what I was like kind of getting at and what I'm thinking about was just like, wow, you know, it's basically how to fish is kept so secret, because if the poor figured out how to fish, then they wouldn't depend on the government to give them everything that they need. They could just like go out and do it themselves and actually work. But it's like, you know, this way you destroy the middle class, you keep the poor poor or even poorer, the rich become richer. And then you have like the cabal sitting over here owning all the fish and then raising taxes at the same time.
You know, it's an interesting point that you raise here outside of kind of the broader conversation, because, you know, you could look at bioecology that way, right? Gardening. Everyone in like the 30s and the 40s and the 50s probably had gardens in their backyard, and they were making food that they needed to eat, and emphasis on the income wasn't as much because you had what you needed to survive because you could live off of the earth more or less. So then you were just using what you had to barter with other people. But then at some point, currency became everything. It was the only form of trade was currency. And then it became the central bank fed, you know, fed currency. So it is interesting that, you know, you know, nobody even knows how to garden anymore. We all go to the grocery store. We're out of our,
it's exactly it.
We rely on everything now, you know,
we do. And it's almost like I said, the more I keep thinking about it, the more I'm realizing it's designed this way.
Yeah.
Because they don't want us to learn, because we become dependent on the system. And then at the same time, it's like, then they can kind of control us. And then when our food gets destroyed, what happens? It's like, oh, well now food is going to cost more. You have to pay more taxes and interest rates now go up. And who does it affect more than anybody? The middle class, because they have to pay for the poor, because the poor, it's like, okay, oh, I'm poor, I can't work.
But the thing is, okay, going back to the conversation about why is this happening? And why are both sides of the media criticizing this? One thing doesn't add up, actually, is that if this was just for the midterms, if that's what this really was, why would the media that are very pro-globalist, which they all are, mostly except like a handful that aren't in bed with a cabal, why would they be criticizing this? They wouldn't. They would be praising him. So
it's true.
To me, I'm looking at this like, they are distracting us from something. Something isn't quite right, because they won't allow even an ounce of a bad article to be written about something that they're really, really like concerned about. But in this case, why are media all of a sudden clear on this? It doesn't make sense. So what are they distracting from? And the only thing I can think of is it is, yes, it's a midterm move, right? Obviously, if you think of that just from the Biden camp, like it could potentially be, you know, a midterm move to get some of these younger voters who, by the way, don't even know how many stars are on the flag. Really? Or it's like, it's a distraction, and a distraction from what? The CBDC, the central bank digital currency, maybe, because the central bank digital currency is the thing that they've been rolling out. That executive order is the thing that they've been rolling out really hard. And it's the actual biggest thing, like them controlling our money can turn us overnight into a country that is in a social credit nightmare. We're in a social credit dystopian nightmare. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out too.
So I think everybody is, you know, and I like, again, like I'm kind of shocked that how much the mainstream media, including the New York Times, actually have been really kind of criticizing this. So that again, maybe you're right. Maybe this is all a distraction. Maybe, I mean, Biden's not even making any decisions anyways. So it's like, who kind of authorized this?
Just him in that. Why now? Getting questioned in that interview where he gave the white supremacy sign at the end too, when he was trying to make a zero. It's like, even in his, in his like state where he's kind of losing his mind, he's still making the old symbols he probably used to make in some of his meetings.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a video too of, this is a great video. Actually, Lindsay, can you show this? This is Elizabeth Warren, and this man confronts her and basically just kind of like saying exactly what we're talking about to her. And, it's really great actually. And, it really shows.
Which one is that, Ben?
It's man confronting Elizabeth Warren.
Thanks.
Yep. Because it's really a great, and some facts about this: only 37% of Americans have a 4-year college degree, 13 have graduate degrees, and a full 56% of student loan debt is held by people who went to grad school. So Biden's plan to cancel it would be like taking money from a plumber to pay the debt of a lawyer. And this is what, this was a post from this guy named Greg Price.
Yeah, so that was Greg Price on Twitter, right?
Yeah. So in a nutshell, yeah. So, but this is great. Actually, no, play that, Lindsay. I was just kind of saying that as you were pulling it up. Oh, okay. Yeah. So this is that, I'm sorry. Yeah. Greg Price said that. And then he posted this video of Elizabeth Warren. Sorry, her name just slipped my mind. I almost said something else.
I was hoping the teachers were.
Yeah.
Is that guy on the right there?
Yeah, the guy on the right. He's like patiently waiting.
I just want to ask one question. My daughter's getting out of school. I saved all my money. She doesn't have any school money. Am I going to get my money back? So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us that did the right thing get screwed.
No, it's not even that screwed.
Of course we did. My buddy had fun, bought a car, went on vacations. I saved my money. He made more than I did. But I worked a double shift, worked extra. My daughter works, she was 10. So you're laughing. Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. We did the right thing, and we get screwed.
I appreciate
that.
That's
right.
So if you didn't hear what this guy was saying, he's like, look, my neighbor, he didn't save his money. He bought a car. He took vacations. He got a student loan for his children. And now he doesn't have to pay that back. He's like, I worked my ass off, basically did everything myself, paid for my own kids through college. And because I did it myself, I don't have any loan forgiveness. So this is exactly what now, like what everyone is talking about. And I think that I don't know. I mean, I think Biden,
you know, when Democrats really get a taste of what communism and socialism is, this making everyone equal, they don't really like it.
They
because deep in their hearts, they're actually American somewhere in there.
No, it's true.
You know, and the ones in the middle, yeah, though, they're more likely to side with this gentleman here. Most of America is more likely to side with this gentleman. The extreme left, the mob, which is the mob rule, like they will just, like, they're the ones that they actually try to persecute you more if you bring up the stuff that this guy was bringing up, really, you know.
It's so true.
Like, rub it in your face, make you hurt more, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the other aspect is some people have already paid off their student loans, and then it's like, oh, well, you don't get anything because you already paid them off. So, you know, and then it's like,
not right.
You asked the big question earlier, who is actually paying for it? Right. The middle class, their taxes. Yeah,
the taxes.
Yeah. Almost $2,000 per family.
Yeah.
So everything that we got from the government, it's like, oh, here's free money here. Oh, we're just going to take it back because taxes and then inflation, right? The middle class is hurting so badly. The inflation is going up on everything. Then you have the interest rates for the homes. You're trying to buy a home. You can't even like find a home that's like not like $500,000 pretty much now, for the most part, depending on where you are. And it's like, you know, it's hard. And it's like all these working class families are really struggling right now because of all of these things. And I just keep, and then on top of that, we have the stock market that's crashing and cryptocurrency that's crashing. And I just keep thinking, like, gosh, if Trump was in here, like, the economy would be like the best it's ever been.
And how much more money is Biden going to give away before the economy entirely collapses?
And is that the plan?
Collapses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also, furthermore, how in the world can Elizabeth Warren try to call herself Native American with a straight face?
Yeah, I almost said the, when I was trying to say her name.
She is the whitest person I've ever seen. Like, I have not seen anyone whiter than her.
So I have to admit, I almost said Pocahontas instead. When I was like, I had to stop myself because I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, wait, that's not right. Anyway, we need to take a break for a trailer and we'll be back.
What trailer are we playing, Lindsay?
This one's going to be Tartaria.
Well, all right.
A vast secret history. A lost ancient civilization. An empire they tried to erase. Tartaria's hidden past is just as fictional as Atlantis. Or is it? Humanoid giants. Magical creatures that shouldn't exist. Dogmen. Centaurs. Magicians. And evil spirits. Why did the Soviet communists remove all traces of Tartaria from their books? Why was it so important to wipe Tartaria off the face of the earth? Take a glimpse into the truth of the past. You were never supposed to know.
So, did Genghis Khan's ancestors and the Tartarians really discover America? Was Tartaria a global civilization?
Forgotten maps. The journals of Marco Polo. Ancient structures. Evidence of advanced technology. Edge of Wonder brings you Tartaria.
So for those of you guys that are watching us on Rumble that haven't subscribed to Rise TV or not even really sure what Rise TV is, or, you know, Rob and I, we go live every Tuesday and Thursdays, but really our like big, huge, like heavy content that we produce is on Rise TV. And we have just about any topic you can pretty much think about. I think you and I have pretty much covered, and they're beautifully edited and they're scripted, and we present them extremely well. And that's why it's behind a paywall, because it takes so much time, money, and effort in our team to really produce every one of these episodes. So this is why, you know, being with you guys subscribing to Rise TV, there's so much more that we can do and continue pushing out these like amazing content for all of you guys to watch. So this is why it's important for you to subscribe, and this is why we do what we do, really. You know, this has been what we've been doing since like what, beginning of 2018.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many series that we have, and that's just one of them. And that's a 4-part series, and you can find that on Rise TV. And again, this is why it's so important for our subscribers, and we love our subscribers, and there's a really awesome community, and we have our live chats on every show that we do. So it's great. And hopefully you guys will subscribe. And again, we can keep making content. And if you have suggestions, please let us know, and we'll definitely look into those. So, and absolutely. Tonight, actually at 9 p.m. is the premiere of our Big Oil Part 4 series. Lindsay, are we having a, is it a premiere, or are we doing like with a live chat as well?
Tonight, we're not having a watch party, but they can watch the episode tonight. We're going to be doing watch parties on the first episode of brand new series. So we did that with War on Children and episode 1 of Big Oil, I believe. So stay tuned for the next one for a brand new series.
All right. So that's coming out. And this episode is all about basically coming of the rise of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and exactly what happened in 1970s with oil and how it was being manipulated, how they used a war to manipulate the oil. And it's
these
super
most recent
hard.
Oil episodes are killer. They're excellent. Like, this is the classic Edge of Wonder stuff that everybody out there loves. So you guys should totally check those out.
Yeah, I think one of the more shocking things in this episode when I was researching it was about the Bilderberg meeting of 1973, mm-hmm. and how insane it was and what happened through that meeting that just manipulated things so much. So actually, Lindsay, do we have a clip of that?
I can get that ready for you. We can play the intro to the episode for episode 3.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, we can do that later. That sounds good. So, okay.
So anyway, back to Pocahontas. Just kidding.
Oh, man. There was something else I wanted to show. What was it? Sorry. I'm just going through this now.
You're talking about like...
Yeah. So, okay. This Sean Hannity thing too.
Yeah, and Tucker Carlson had something.
Tucker Carlson had something as well, and that's a little bit long, but okay, so let's get into actually Financial Times had another headline here, and again, I'm a little bit kind of taken back by how the media has been talking about this. But Financial Times headline was U.S. student debt relief is an economic nothing burger. So, again, it's just I think that.
That's funny that they would say that.
This
shows you like how schizophrenic the media is over this issue right now.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, this is literally
this is the cornerstone of socialism, and they're not all of a sudden not supporting it. Like, something's up.
What's kind of surprising me. So I don't know of course you can find all these TikTok videos of people like, well, hey, you know, $10,000 is whatever, but I'll take it, you know, and they're not thinking about it any more than that. And I it's like, you know, single students who had to take a loan, like I can understand, like this can really, you know, help them out. But it's like, when you really look at the bigger picture, there's always like a loss and gain here. Somebody is going to be losing out, and really, who is this actually helping. And even the media is pointing out that it's not really helping the people that who's like, it's directed, it's going to be helping.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like it's going to be helping so many people, but in reality, it's not really the case. And even the media is pointing that out. So, I do want to mention something from Huffington Post. So they had this whole thing with Sean Hannity, and they take a quote from Sean Hannity. And after, like, Lindsay, can you pull up this article with Huffington Post? So they're making fun of Sean Hannity because he says he gripes that his low wage staffers will receive student loan relief, and they're making fun of him, like, oh, look at him. He's making all this money, and now he's talking trash about the people that work for him because they're not making $125,000 or whatever. But I listened to the whole thing, and it's actually not what he's saying. They're completely taking this out of context. Scroll down in the article, Lindsay. There's like an actual quote here. Okay, yeah, this is the quote here. It's saying, so this quote, but it's only part of the quote from what he said. And they actually do show the whole, or you can listen to the whole thing of what Sean Hannity says. But it says, we have a lot of young people that work at my TV show. They're not making $125,000. They're now eligible to get, in some cases, up to $20,000, and in other cases, $10,000. This is New Green Deal radical socialism. Now, with that quote, yeah, it does really sound like he's kind of talking trash against the people that work for him. But when you listen to the entire thing,
do we have it?
Yeah, you can play that. And it's not very long. Just hit play.
So in other words, what, a bailout plan for rich people to set? So in other words, what, a bailout plan for rich people to send their kids to school? And what's so bad about working your way through school? Because I did it. And I decided once I got behind a radio microphone, I didn't want to finish my last year or year plus, whatever it was. And I followed my passion, followed my dreams. I never had any hope I'd ever be successful. But when you really think about it, you know, who is going to benefit the most from this? Wall Street Journal editorial board said student loan forgiveness is an inflation expansion act. College costs have soared multiple times the rate of inflation over the last 50 years. And the people that likely will benefit the most are middle class. You know, think about it. You get out of college, you're not making a lot of money. We have a lot of young people that work on my TV show. They're not making $125,000. They're now eligible to get, in some cases, up to $20,000, and in other cases, $10,000. And this is New Green Deal radical socialism. This is the push for, oh, we're going to incentivize. They're actually telling poor people that they should go into debt so they can get their solar panels. How stupid is that? It's insane. Anyway, this is very perverse incentives, and this is a reckless economic decision on every single level. And the student debt loan forgiveness, I am telling you, colleges are loaded. They are rich. They are making phenomenal amounts of money. Their endowments are massive. They're just huge. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's it. It's a plan to give this money back to the universities because the debt is held at the university. So the universities get it, and then they're pushing the socialist agenda. That's it.
Yeah, so he's talking about the socialism, but the problem is this: the way this article makes it sound like he's talking smack about the people who work for him, but he's not. Yeah. He's talking about the system. The poor is going to stay poor. The middle class is just going to stay middle class or get more poor, and the rich are going to get richer. And that's from my understanding,
exactly.
That's kind of what he's explaining. And this whole article is just like, because again, it's like people just, they don't listen to things on their own. They just like read an article and say, okay, I started seeing what other people are commenting on the thread of the Twitter thread for that article. And everyone's just like bashing Hannity. And I'm like, did you guys actually listen to the whole thing? Or did you just read the article? Or didn't even read the article. They probably just read the headline, read the tweet, and respond. That's it. And I noticed that somebody
that's how actually, the news works nowadays, though, you know,
it really is. It really is. And I mean, he's talking literally about these like colleges that make so much money. And the other main thing that I have a big problem with this, if Biden truly wanted to do something good for the people and have some kind of like overhaul with the student loan, why not change or set the interest rates? Set the interest rates as like either 1 or 2%, and they cannot go any higher, and do more about this and have a reform and not just say, oh, here, we're just going to like, you can forget $10,000 because we'll just pull it from the middle class and they'll just pay for it for you guys. That's all it is just moving money around. It's like, you know, you're taking money from one group and you're giving it to another group. And that's it.
But meanwhile, well, yeah. And it's like all of the money from the middle class is constantly being given to the more and more prosperous and rich.
And it's not like they're sorry, Rob. Yeah.
No,
no,
go
but,
ahead.
Well, it's not like they're just right. Oh, okay. You owe 100,000. Okay. We'll just take off 10,000. Now you only own 90. No, they're still giving that 10,000 to the loan, whoever owns that loan. You know, in some cases it's the, most cases it's like other organizations buy those loans and then you're just paying back that loan to whatever. So it's not like $10,000 is just magically disappearing and it's going down $10,000. It's like you're taking $10,000. You have to take it from somebody. Right. So it's the taxes in the middle class that, and that's what everybody is talking about. And it is kind of refreshing to see the mainstream media kind of talking about this because I when I first saw it on Twitter, I was just like, oh man, the mainstream media is just gonna like have a field day with this. But actually,
well, look at this, I'm like kind of surprised. Lindsay just wrote this in here. Harvard's endowment would be $53.2 billion. Like Harvard needs that money. They're the ones that have been pushing the communist and globalist revolution more than anyone.
That's exactly it. And I mean,
and
this
and
is what I mean.
The goal of these universities is to change young people into radicals, radical activists. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Green Eye is asking, what is the budget for the total program for the? Honestly, I can't remember. I know it's in the billions, but I can't remember what the actual budget was. Yeah, it's a lot anyway. And again, the money's got to come from somewhere. It's not like it just magically disappears. And, and the problem
is just going to start swatting more people's homes and taking their.
I guess so. And the other aspect to this, too, is like, okay, let's say these young people are really happy about it. Like, all right, you know, but what happens when they grow up and then the same thing happens? How are they going to feel? It's like, oh, well, now we're going to, now you're making money. We're going to take more of taxes away from you and give it to these people. And anyway, it's pretty ridiculous. And I don't even know what to say about it anymore, which I guess we can get into central bank digital currency.
The CBDC.
But, yeah, seriously. But okay, do we want to play something else or do we just want to jump into that?
Did you want to play the clip from the Big Oil episode?
Sure. Okay. Why don't we do that? So you guys, again, this is our the episode that's going to come out today at 9 p.m. Eastern
time. This one's the one that came out last Thursday.
Okay. Oh, last Thursday. I'm sorry.
Tonight.
Yeah, because we haven't published it yet. Yeah. So this is the one that's on there right now. This came out last Thursday. All about the rise of the oil industrial complex.
Hey everybody, it seems as if big oil is running our world. As we've seen from our previous episodes on the big oil industrial complex, every aspect of society, including our food, has some level of petroleum production and of course, plastic.
With gas prices higher now than they've ever been in history, with inflation through the roof, with the crash of the stock market and cryptocurrencies, along with food production taking a massive hit, it almost seems like this has all been arranged for a while.
And would you believe us if we told you that there's proof that gas prices have been manipulated since the birth of Standard Oil? And if that's true, then it's possible that this entire industry is still being manipulated today.
Well, join us here on Edge of Wonder as we blow the truth about this black gold out of the well and reveal how they've been gaslighting us ever since John D. Rockefeller's
don't say that word.
Reputation started being threatened.
Also, we'll go over some things you probably didn't know, like how the first electric car was actually built in 1884. It's heartwarming. So what happened? And why didn't it catch on? Was something orchestrated to make sure cars switched to oil instead?
Well, it's hard to talk about oil without mentioning the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, since they both built their empires upon oil and banking. So before we get into the real reason why we think gas prices are so high, let's go back to the start of it all, when a man named William Avery Livingston, also known as William Avery Rockefeller, was swindling local town folk for his so-called snake oil cure.
Also, we just want to say that Ben and I are not suicidal. So if we die after this publishes, it wasn't because we were suicidal.
That's good, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think I just threw that in there, didn't I?
I think you did too. That was pretty good. So you guys, yeah, you can find that on our Rise TV platform, along with so many other series that we've done. And we have the new one coming out at 9 p.m. And yeah, honestly, one of the more shocking things that was really revealed in this episode is electric cars, how they were made in the 1800s, late 1800s. And it was literally going to become the standard for cars.
Yeah.
And it was cheaper. It was quieter. It was cleaner.
Edison had worked out the batteries. I mean, you name it. Yeah, he
and
did.
And then it's like, why didn't that happen? Well, that's where the oil is.
Something to do with the Rockefellers and PR. Yeah.
So true. And that's where it all begins and starts. And then you start thinking, like, why is it we are still using the same source of energy to power our cars that we did back when Ford made his first Model T cars?
And they're like, you created climate change.
Blame the consumer. That's what you do. Dude, oh my gosh, California is going to, like, speaking of which, I just read today that California is trying to push a legislation thing, something about related to new cars and, like, limiting how much you can drive them for filling up gas and things like that. I don't know all the details about it, but it was pretty shocking. It was something related to new cars and gas.
I want to live in California. Just like all of you folks out there living in California.
I know. It's so weird.
Get out of there.
So it's weird. It's
crazy there. You can't keep. Yeah. How are they even doing some of this stuff? It's so corrupt.
Okay. So what it is exactly is California votes to ban new gas car sales by 2035. It hasn't been officially.
So they're banning sales for gas cars by 2035. So you'd have to literally have to go to Arizona. You'd have to drive over to Arizona or Nevada or something.
So what? They force everyone to buy like $60,000 cars.
Well, in California, like the lowest home in most places in California is like $1.3 million anyway.
I just don't understand this at all. It's like, okay, well, it's not our fault. Develop cars that run on water, hydroelectric power. I mean, it's so many people have done it. And then when you look up like who's done it, some of them are dead. Coincidence? I don't know. We get into that too. So in our whole oil series, in the big oil industrial complex series, we actually talk about all of this and how there is people who have died who tried to make alternative source of power and for cars. And it's just really sad. And it's like, even electric cars are polluting the environment in ways that are not talked about because how you need the lithium batteries. You don't just snap your finger and lithium just comes out of the ground.
Okay, so what I think may be happening here too with this loan stuff is that it's really distracting people from the bigger issue, which is Executive Order 1467. That's 14. Well, actually, it's 14067. And a lot of people are calling this actually a quote, a death warrant on American freedom. Because if it's a central bank digital currency, there is no cash. You can't take it out and it can be controlled digitally. So if you do something that they don't like, if you're being tracked, that you do something they don't like, they can completely halt your accounts just like that, super easily. It's like, it's the next step of financial slavery, essentially, and what we're, you know, in the only free country in the entire world as it is, you know?
Yeah. So, Europe has already started this process, and I'm trying to think of, so anyway, there was this pretty incredible interview that Joe Rogan did, and somebody really kind of changed the interview but added things to it in a video that's pretty short actually, but it's does an incredible job of breaking down how this is essentially the plan for the Great Reset. Like, this is the beginning of how the Great Reset would start. Do you want to hear us a little bit of this?
Yeah.
Just like 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
Or so? Okay, cool. Lindsay, can you pull that link up?
On March 9th, 2022, when President Biden signed the death warrant on American freedom. On that day, in hushed ceremony at the White House, without the approval of Congress, the states, or the American people, Biden signed into law Executive Order 14067. Buried in his order are a few paragraphs titled Section 4. The language in Section 4 makes Order 14067 the most treacherous act by a sitting president in the history of our republic. Because Section 4 sets the stage for legal government surveillance of all U.S. citizens, total control over your bank accounts and purchases, and the ability to silence all dissenting voices for good. On March 26, 2022, Fox News sounded the alarm. Biden Order 14067 is a truly remarkable and deeply troubling development.
Do you feel like you're sounding the alarm?
Yes.
For people that don't understand what the f*** is going on?
So here, I've pulled it up for you here, yeah? So there's the video.
Yeah.
I don't know if your camera can see that, but
no.
There's the video. There's him speaking about it.
The G7 is launching a set of public policy principles for retail central bank digital currencies, CBDCs.
I don't trust this guy.
He's an official
version of money, a bit like a digital banknote that could be used alongside physical notes and coins. Unlike most of the digital money people use daily today, it would be issued directly by a central bank, like the Bank of England in the UK.
Right, so that's the guy who runs our economy in the UK. His name's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And here is the article. Bank of England tells ministers to intervene on digital currency programming. Yeah. And here's a quote from the article. This is in the Telegraph, the one he pulled up. Okay. But it was behind a paywall. So I'll just read the quote. Digital cash could be programmed to ensure it is only spent on essentials or goods which an employer or government deems to be sensible.
Holy.
I'm going to take it one step further for you, Joe, right? So the vaccine passport infrastructure is in place, but now we know that the vaccine doesn't stop infection or transmission, but the checkpoint Charlie exists everywhere. They bring in digital banking, central banking, digital currencies. You've got a scenario now that you're checking in and out everywhere you go using vouchers that are programmed and you can only spend where you're told you can spend them.
Wow.
There's another word for that, man. That's called the Chinese social credit system.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You can stop it there, Lindsay.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's what Sleepy Joe is trying to roll out in the United States. You think it's going to happen? They're trying to do this in December, you guys.
I think, December, yeah. Right
around the corner.
You know, this is what makes America so much different than other countries, that if a leader decides to do something, they can just pretty much do it. There's not a lot of like
pushback. Other countries.
Yeah, other countries, except for the people, right? Here it is different because we have this political system that it's the two parties. Hopefully in the future we'll eliminate the two-party system because they're both flawed. But it's like, you know, so either side, I mean, it's designed like that. So if either side really wants to do something super radical, there's always these checks and balances. So I don't know how far this could potentially go. I really want to like get into this, but I'm kind of like holding back because I kind of want to like really get into it on Rise TV where we can just kind of let loose and not worried about being too censored about things, you know? So, because I definitely want to hear what you have to say about it too.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we touch on Marjorie Taylor Greene and then you and I are going to go have, some tea and talk about the central bank digital currency and, some Hunter Biden laptop stuff, basically.
Yeah, because with Joe Rogan, I don't know if you guys know.
No, we'll get into that in a second. So let's get into Marjorie Taylor Greene first. So,
okay, let's get into that.
Poor Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative of, what was it again? She's in...
It's Michigan, right? Oh my gosh. Is it Michigan?
She Lindsay just recently became representative. It was just recently and it's escaping me right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Atlanta, right?
It was Georgia.
Georgia. I'm sorry.
Yep. Georgia.
I'm sorry. Okay, I meant Georgia. I was like, she was speaking in Atlanta, but yeah.
Okay. She's been, what has she been up to since she became representative? That's the question. So what has she been up to? She has been speaking out against certain trans things, hasn't she?
It's not this. Okay. So this is where the mainstream media is not reporting correctly. They are saying, and they keep repeating that she's talking against the trans community. She says nothing about the trans community.
Correct.
She is specifically talking about children.
Children.
Children. That's it. It's
trying
like,
to protect
hey,
the children.
Trying to protect the children. It's like children. No child should go through a sexual change until they're 18 years old. One, they're still in development. That's what she's trying to say.
Yeah.
Once they're 18, they can make their own dumbass
decisions when they become 18. Until then, you have to let them. You can't. There should be laws protecting that, right?
And that's basically I would
all more, she's saying.
I would more refer to it as like anti-grooming laws.
kind of, but really they're just honestly these are just basic human rights. Let's just say
that's basically
honestly, if we want to get down to it and you understand what human rights are, someone who is under the age of 18 doesn't get to make crazy decisions like that until, you know, such time as they're ready to make those decisions because that's major life altering stuff, you know? Okay. And I think that Jack Posobiec actually did a really interesting interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene, where she is outlining exactly what happened that morning, the first time she got swatted. So why don't we go ahead, Lindsay? Why don't you pull that up so that we can talk about that? And I think it's really like the stuff that she says and how she says it. There's a lot in there.
Like from your perspective, I mean, you're home, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Did this start with a knock on the door? Was it a phone call? Was it a pounding? What actually happened last night from what you can tell us?
Yeah, and I'll be happy to go through detail by detail. So I was sound asleep. Of course, never expected anyone to be coming to my house at that time in the morning. Heard some knocks on the door, heard my doorbell, saw some lights outside, heard people outside my windows in my yard, and I jumped out of bed, threw my clothes on, and I picked up my gun. That was my instinct because I'm a gun owner, I'm a Second Amendment supporter, and I believe in defending myself. And normally I answer the door with a gun, especially if it's someone that I don't expect coming to my home. But for some reason, I had this weird gut instinct to not take my gun with me to the front door, which was very out of norm for me. So I put my gun down and I just went down the hallway, and the house was still dark. And I came around the corner and looked out the windows, and there I saw the police outside, and they, you know, they had their guns. They were ready because they had received a terrible phone call to the 911 center. And so I walked up there and I saw them. I was really startled, and I couldn't think, like, why are they here? You know, did something bad happen? You know, that was what I was thinking. I thought maybe someone had been hurt or killed, and they were coming to talk to me about it. And I opened the door, and the officer standing there, he said, "Ma'am, are you okay? Is everything okay here?" But it was the body posture of the police that was really concerning me. Like, it had me even, I was upset. I was afraid. I was like, there's something terribly wrong. And I said, yeah, I'm okay. You know, I was sleeping. You know, I'm like trying to understand what they're doing. And he said, hold on, let me get my sergeant. And then they came from around the corner and came up the steps and told me that someone had called in to the 911 call center here in Rome, Georgia, and had reported that someone had shot either her husband or her boyfriend 5 times in the chest in a bathtub. And then they, you know, they were sending the police to supposedly go help. But then they called back a second time and said, there's children in the home. So with those phone calls, they were setting up a very serious, dangerous scenario in a home, right? And police officers, when they get those kind of calls, they know what they're going into. They have to be prepared for it. They have to get there immediately. This, you know, it sounds like they made it sound like there were children in danger at our house. And so the police officers, they got to my house so fast. But then I said, no, this is all wrong. I said, come inside. I brought them inside. I said, you know, they said, yeah, we realize what's happened is you've been swatted. And they were upset, rightfully so, and angry. And I was very upset. I could not believe someone would do that. And I was shocked because they put, not only did they put my life and my family's life in danger, they also put the police officers' lives in danger. And so whoever this person is, they deserve to be locked up.
Crazy, huh?
Super crazy. And
she gets into it.
She really does. And she does talk about her, like the law that she's passing and how it's not a coincidence. Just a week prior to that, all this happened. We're going to have to jump off here pretty soon and go to our Rise platform. But before we do, I do want to read this because I was curious about the legal consequences of a
squatting.
When this actually happens. So this is, according to the actual legal consequences, people who make these false 9/11 calls can be charged with manslaughter. And in New York State, that person could be charged with murder. This is due to a state law that refers to reckless actions and depraved indifference to human life. So, I mean,
unless it was a federal agency that made the call.
I mean, yeah, unless it was a federal, Now, this happened twice, two nights in a row. It happened last night and the night before. So, I mean,
but after the first night, why wouldn't they flag that as like, hey, you know, even have someone at the house just kind of like to protect her? She's a state representative. Make sure nothing weird is going on so that if anything happened, like another call like that, they would be ready to track it. Number one, two, there would already be someone there that could call back and report to them to say, hey, no, nothing is going on here. I just checked at the house. Like it's that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you show up again and swat it unless you were trying to threaten her?
I mean, if this was anybody else on the Democratic side, like AOC or any of those people, the FBI would be involved in this. AOC
complaining when that happened, like she would never stop.
Oh, Lindsay said it did happen. Wait. I could be. It did happen to AOC.
That didn't happen to AOC.
No. That was a note that you wrote.
Oh, yeah. AOC. Yeah, no. If I'm saying
that was a note from your future self.
Oh, okay. So yeah, no, it didn't happen. But if it, what I was saying is, if it did happen, yeah, the FBI wouldn't be involved, and it would be probably raiding everybody's home. So,
oh, right, well, man. Ben, we've got a couple of things to talk to on Rise.tv, don't we? Tell me a little bit about this Hunter Biden stuff.
Yeah, so Mark Zuckerberg was actually on Joe Rogan's show, and they literally discussed the Hunter Biden laptop. And since we're running out of time on Rumble, we're going to talk about that on Rise TV and get all into that interview, what was said, how the FBI was involved. We'll also get into more of our thoughts on the central bank digital currency, really why it's going on, what's really happening with this, and how it affects your paper money and why that affects the paper money. And yeah, and then there's tons of Q&As that we already have from you guys. So we're going to be answering those too, all on Rise TV. So please consider subscribing to Rise.tv. You get this great show as well as all of the great other shows that we've done production-wise, as we explained earlier with our oil industrial complex series and Tartaria, transhumanism, so many others that we've done, hundreds actually of shows that we've produced.
Also, if you come over today, we're giving away a free PDF that actually shows the recipe for how Hunter Biden made crack. We don't really have that. That was me just trying to get you guys to subscribe
from the Russians directly.
Yeah, straight from the Russian disinformation factory of Vladimir Putin's office.
Made in China, though.
No, you guys, seriously, it's going to be cool over there. We're going to be talking about a bunch of this stuff and really give our thoughts on what's going on with this. With this Hunter Biden stuff and how that they framed it. And it's crazy. So come meet us over there and we'll see you guys soon.
There's a war on children. And its weapon is right in your own home.
In this critical series from Edge of Wonder, we expose the astonishing truth about how children are being programmed and groomed with hidden sexual content and subliminal messages.
Did you know that today's children's programming is full of sex and sexual themes?
From erotic animation in Disney classics to behavior manipulation in modern Pixar, from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network's questionable themes, to media, movies, and more. This is a bigger pattern of hidden nudity, sexual innuendos in cartoons, and normalization of pedophilia that can't be ignored.
After this video, you'll see why it's a spiritual battle for our children's morality, and why we think parents should have all the facts to make the ultimate choices for their own kids.
This is War on Children.
All right.